Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The information age has changed so many parts of our culture, and agriculture is no exception. In the last 30 years, the field of precision agriculture has transformed farming in a number of powerful ways. This hour, we'll learn about precision agriculture, the incredible technology and cool gadgets that help farmers do their jobs. We'll also talk about the impact this technology can have on a farmer's bottom line and also on the environment. My guests this hour are Brad Buchanan. He is owner and president of Crop Technology Services Incorporated and a certified crop advisor in Iowa. Hello, Brad.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Pete Youngblut is also with us, owner of Youngblut Egg. Hello, Pete.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And Kevin Butt, agriculture faculty at Ellsworth Community College. He's also a farmer himself. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And Brad, I'm going to start with you to give us kind of an overview. When we say precision agriculture, those of us who are not in the field don't necessarily understand what that means. So first, let's start with a definition. What is precision agriculture?
Well, it's the technology that's been incorporated over the last 20 years, both computer technology and primarily global positioning technology, or what a lot of people call or refer to as GPS. And why GPS is very important is that we can be much more precise at locating certain tasks that we might be doing in the field via planting, via tillage, via harvesting, via fertilizing, any of those tasks that we would normally do in agriculture. We can be very, very precise at identifying those locations in the field so that we can go back to those spots maybe a month later, 3 years later, and identify certain characteristics that we want and using that technology.
All right, so when we talk about GPS technology, of course, a lot of us think about what we use in our cars, which, you know, tells us how to get from one place to another. But this is incredibly precise. You're gathering information, you can gather information on soil conditions in different parts of the field. This can really give you information row by row in your field, right?
Yes, because we're trying to be more precise with our planting. And at planting time, if we can be much more precise and uniform at placement of seed, whether it be planting depth or spacing in the row, then we can be more precise and ultimately, hopefully, raise our yield potentials that are out there in the field.
All right. And that kind of GPS technology that all of us depend on that tells us where to turn and when to turn, that kind of thing, that's useful in the field too, right?
We're using guidance systems to help basically steer tractors and combines to prevent overlap. So again, if we can be much more precise at that location and we're 5 or 10% more efficient, that saves hours in the day and the number of acres that we can get covered in a day.
All right, so this technology would be available in a planter, in a sprayer, in a combine, all of the machinery that you take out in the field?
All of the above. It just depends on how sophisticated that individual farmer would like to be.
All right, and what other tools do you use in association with that GPS in whatever equipment? Because you have other tools at your disposal as well.
Right. We talked about soil sampling. So we've got four-wheelers, traditional four-wheelers, like people would ride for recreational purposes. We've got GPS antennas on those wheelers so that we go out in the field, test that a certain soil spot or location. We can mark that with the GPS, and then we send that information off, or that soil test off to a laboratory and have it analyzed. And as I said, whether it be a couple weeks later or a couple years later, we can go back to that same precise location, test the soil again, and actually determine how the fertility has changed from one season to another season. Another application that's being more and more common all the time is documenting manure application and where the manure has been applied, at what rates, and so that we can document that for DNR purposes, you know, any record-keeping purposes. I mean, there's many, many other uses that we can use of the GPS technology as well.
All right. You also use drones in precision agriculture, or you can. How do drones play into this?
So the drones that we fly, we've got two licensed pilots here in Crop Tech Services, and we can actually set flight paths. So let's say that a customer calls and says, this particular 40-acre field doesn't seem to be performing up to par. Is there something going on? We can program in via a flight path using GPS technology exactly where to fly in that field. We can snap pictures. We can do sensing imagery, what's called near-infrared or NDVI images, and or potentially here coming down the pike, heat sensing equipment, so we can see if plants are under heat stress and basically help that farmer make a decision what potentially caused the issue.
And what brings all of this information together? I mean, that sounds like an incredible, overwhelming amount of information for a farmer to deal with, especially when we're talking about farms that are, you know, well upwards of 1,000 acres.
Well, that's where big data comes in and the terminology of big data. Of course, there's the concern is who owns that data and how that data is collected. And, of course, then farmers are hiring individuals such as ourselves to help them analyze that information and collect that information and store that from year to year.
So with your business, what role are you playing in supporting farmers? Give me an idea of what farmers come to you for.
Primarily advice. So we're meant to be an independent third party where we're helping them make management decisions in regards to their crop production. In our case, primarily corn and soybeans here in and around the Cedar Rapids area in eastern Iowa. And so what we're helping them and advising them to do is their fertility program. So once we've got the lab data back from that lab and it's all geo-referenced, we can do variable rate fertilizer applications. We can do variable rate ag lime applications. On the seed side of the business, they're saying certain varieties we know respond to pushing the plant population. We know certain soil types might not be able to carry as many plants or as many seeds per acre. So we can use the GPS technology to actually reduce plant population in certain areas of the field or increase plant populations. And this is literally as the farmer is driving back and forth across the field and they don't need to touch any of the equipment. It will automatically do that for them.
You started this business, or the business started back in 1979. So give me an idea of the scope of changes you've witnessed.
Well, you know, tremendous. Just like any business, change is constant. You need to stay up with that change. Of course, computer technologies come along and helped us be smarter and get information back faster. Now we can use the GPS technology, the precision ag technology, to show things that are happening precisely in the field. So one of our services that we offer is a weekly crop scouting business where we're physically walking through their fields looking for weeds and insects and diseases. And now we've got an iPad that we have in our palm of our hand. We can drop a pin, which is a GPS coordinate. Hypothetically, that farmer could go literally right back to that same location to identify, you know, if we found a particular issue, whether a certain weed in issue, an insect issue, a plant disease issue, soil fertility issue. And then they also then get an email report immediately once the scout is done with the field, so they can see literally what's going on in their field instantaneously.
When do you think you saw the biggest jump in this kind of technology? Because as I mentioned, I mean, this has just transformed, especially conventional agriculture in the last 30 years. But it feels like the pace of change has been rapid and rapid for a long time.
Well, it has. A little over 20 years ago, of course, the whole concept of global positioning was a military application. A company here in Cedar Rapids, Rockwell Collins, was tasked with then taking it from military applications to commercial applications. And, of course, it started in the rail business. It started in the over-the-road trucking business. And, of course, Rockwell Collins, being in the heart of the heartland, thought, well, the opportunity would be to offer to, you know, services to agriculture. And they brought many of those tools, technology that they had used on the military side, and saw potential value and applications to it. Now, along the way, you know, there's been, you know, it hasn't been a perfect road. It, you know, there's times that the technology gets ahead of your capabilities, and you've got to kind of back up and say, all right, how better can we do this? You know, simple things of some of my farm customers back in the day learning how to run Windows, and how do I save files, and how do we get files from some remote data card onto our computer. And, of course, now that can all be done remotely, wirelessly, you know, literally from the cab of the planter or the cab of the combine directly to a computer in the farm office. And so, yeah, just change is constant, and it's been more and more rapid all the time.
Well, and we're going to talk about some of the many different kinds of impacts that this technology has had on farming and on the environment in Iowa, on the farmer's bottom line as well. But we have seen, especially since the farm crisis in the 1980s, we've seen the size of farms increase. Farmers doing conventional agriculture finding it harder to make a living on smaller farms, so farms have been growing. Do you feel like precision agriculture, which of course makes it possible for one farmer or a small group of people to farm much, much larger acreages, do you feel like it's been driving that, or is it following that trend?
I wouldn't say that it's driving it. It's just helping them become more efficient. And efficiencies from the standpoint of i.e. their planter. So if their planter knows precisely where it is, and as it's coming into the end rows, that it doesn't overlap or double plant into the end rows. And again, there's a seed savings there, but there's also a yield savings. And because if you plant too many plants per acre in a one given area, then it's going to have a detrimental effect on potential yield. It's the guidance systems. It's creating less stress for the tractor operator or the combine operator, and they can then basically focus on other machine applications that are going on. And it doesn't mean that somebody still doesn't need to be sitting in the cab of that tractor or that combine, but it's just making that job less stressful so that they can get over more acres in a day. We talked about overlap, reducing the amount of overlap in guiding. You know, if a tillage tool is 40 foot wide, it's always hard to know exactly how precisely
right.
to come back
and
through the field.
We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. Brad Buchanan is here, owner and president of Crop Technology Services Incorporated. We're talking about precision agriculture this hour on Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about precision agriculture. We're talking about the kinds of technology and gadgets that farmers can use to help them do their jobs. We're talking about the kind of impact this kind of technology can have on farming, on the bottom line, and on the environment as well. With me, Brad Buchanan, owner and president of Crop Tech Services Incorporated. He's a certified crop advisor in Iowa. Pete Youngblut is here, owner of Youngblut Ag. Kevin Butt, agriculture faculty at Ellsworth Community College, also a farmer himself, and you are welcome to join the conversation. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. If you have experience with precision agriculture and how it's changed your farm, we'd love to hear from you. 866-780-9100. And Pete, I want to ask you, owner of Youngblut Ag, how did you get involved in precision agriculture and in selling these implements?
Well, I actually got into the business right out of college. I went to Hawkeye Community College in Waterloo, and from there, I got a little bit of a taste of it and was able to move into a position with Ag Leader Technology, which is based right here in Iowa. They're out of Ames, and they're actually one of the main precision ag companies that you'll find out there in the marketplace today. And of course, growing up on the farm myself and being involved in our own operation, from there I chose to try to move a little closer to home, up here around Waterloo, Cedar Falls area, and just had the opportunity and formed some relationships with growers in the community and got started selling this stuff myself. So it just presented a really good opportunity for us to become a dealer, have that off-farm income, and start working with it every day. And so far, we've been doing this for 5 years now, and it's grown immensely. We're handling a lot of different manufacturers and brands, and it's been great.
So I know Brad gave us a great overview of Precision Ag and the ways that some of these technologies are being used and some of the technologies. But can you go a little bit more in depth for us when farmers come to you and you're helping them get set up in this field? Tell me about some of the basic technology or the most important technology that farmers are depending on in Iowa now. And first, let's talk about a yield monitor. Tell me how that works.
Well, that's actually the most prevalent thing right now. Actually, guys are out in the field and they're collecting the data with their yield monitors. And basically what's happening is we're able to put a display in the cab that is measuring the weight by the grain hitting a sensor on the machine, as well as testing the moisture constantly as grain is moving through the combine. And what this is allowing us to do is measure exactly how much corn or soybeans we would have at every given spot in that field. It's really the baseline to start making some management decisions for the entire operation. So this is where we find the answers. This is the time in the year when we go, okay, well, did brand X or brand Y of corn do better? And why did it do better? Did we do different applications to it with fertilizer or chemical, or what is going on? And this is what really tells us what we're doing.
All right. So while the farmers are harvesting, this yield monitor will be collecting all of that information.
Correct. And the technology has taken off immensely. I mean, we're working with kind of the Internet of Things. Now where I actually have a customer that is running the system and the grain cart operator can see what variety is where and can see the yield as they go through the field. So we're getting an actual a visual map with different colors in multiple machines on the fly. And that really allows multiple people in the operation to take notes and start to form some decisions.
So is that what the winter months are for, to really dig into this data and figure things out? Or, I mean, do you feel like farmers can do that themselves? Is that something that they need a consultant for?
Well, it's really both. I started out in software, so I dealt with the data more than anything. And it's something that farmers always ask for help, and they'll work with their agronomists and precision ag technicians such as myself or Brad to try to figure out things that have happened or try to understand the data. But farmers are always looking at it, and nobody knows that farm better than the farmer. So I might bring something up to a grower and say, well, it looks like there's something going on in this area. And he may come back to me and say, no, that's going to be that way because of whatever reason. And it's really something where we're starting to utilize tools such as the iPad, where the grower can have the maps on there and take them with him everywhere he goes, and can be looking at things throughout the season, and then take that further and ask us as professionals, hey, this is what I think I see. What do you see?
Let's talk about, we were talking about yield monitors. Let's talk about planter shutoffs. And again, Brad talked about this a little bit, but tell us exactly what we're talking about with this equipment.
Well, with the planters, that is, you only have one chance to plant every year. And you have to do it right because it's the absolute most critical operation on the farm. So by utilizing this technology, what we're able to do is make sure that every seed is specifically planted at an exact depth and spacing for the entire field. So this means things such as hydraulic down pressure and electric drives on the planter, which allow us to control the speed as of the meter as we're going around a contour, allows us to control the depth of the seed placement, over varying terrain and different soil types. So that way the grower is truly using every seed that he plants. It's controlling the overlap so that we don't overpopulate in areas. So when you go down the road and you're looking over at a field and the corn's just coming up, and you notice how the rows come right to the edge where the headland is and stop perfectly, that's what precision ag is doing. That's us, where we're controlling that we don't want to plant here and we do there.
So that saves the seeds, but it also, which of course are a big investment, but it also makes sure that the seeds have the room to grow, so you're not overplanting in one location and have to go back in there and thin, right?
Correct, because gone are the days of going out and cultivating and tearing those things out. And at this point, the seed is so expensive that we want to make sure that we utilize every single seed. And if you go through and look at a field, you'll find that some plants come up all at the same time, some are behind, and anytime you get a plant that is behind, the yield isn't going to be there. That plant is stressed and it's going to be behind the group. It's kind of a runt, so to speak. And by utilizing the technology, we're able to eliminate that issue.
Now, the planter monitoring goes kind of hand in hand with the planter shutoff technology. So that gives you even more information about the seed that you're planting, right?
Correct. It's very critical to know what's going on your equipment. So what this technology is doing is able to map it out on a row-by-row basis, and we're able to see individually each row, what population it's putting down, what the speed of the meter is. We're able to see every seed that's dropped. Was it too close or too far away from the next seed or the previous seed before that? We're able to measure all of these things in real time as we're going across the field. And it can be as simple as maybe a piece of paper from a seed bag got caught into a meter. I had that happen on our own farm and went, well, okay, we need to go back and check and see what's going on because this isn't planting properly. So it's allowing the farmer to really have a window into his machine and see what's going on.
So you can see it right then, whereas something like that might not become apparent or wouldn't have become apparent for weeks, at least, with older technology, where if something had gone wrong later when the plants start growing, you'd see that there's kind of a bare spot in the field or one row didn't get planted. But now you can say, hey, this is happening right now and fix it.
Exactly, because in the past, you would go back and you're going to refill the planter and go, oh, well, this box has more seed in it than the rest. Well, something must not be right. And then you would find it out at that point. Well, the damage is already done and you can't go back and fix it now. So by utilizing these tools, we really truly get to make adjustments and see what's happening, as well as gives us the ability to make adjustments to test new things, see whether a higher population or a lower population is better. And that ultimately allows that farmer to be better.
Now, let's talk also about AutoSteer. That's, I think, the technology that most of us know about, if we know anything about precision agriculture.
Yes.
But it's incredibly valuable. And would you say that's the most common technology that farmers do buy into, is AutoSteer for their combines or for their planters?
Yes, it's very much a first choice for a farmer to get into, because it really truly relieves the stress on the operator. They're not sitting there focused on trying to go straight, and they can pay attention to their equipment. They can look at the monitor and decide whether something is wrong or not. They can be looking out the back window at the implement and seeing what's going on there, because you really truly have to know what's going on. And when you don't have the stress of having to steer, you can do such a better job. Good example would be myself in the combine, cutting beans at an angle and allowing me to look in the grain tank and see, are there splits, are there pods, are there foreign material, what is in that sample, and make sure that we set the machine to do the best that it possibly can.
Pete Youngblood of Youngblood Egg. Also with me, Brad Buchanan, owner and president of Crop Technology Services Incorporated. And Kevin Butt is also here, agriculture faculty at Ellsworth Community College. We're talking about precision agriculture, and you are welcome to join the conversation. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Kevin, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You grew up on a farm. You wanted to be a farmer, but that wasn't in the cards for you. Why wasn't that something you could do?
I grew up on the farm back in the mid-80s when there was this little farm crisis going on. And my original intent going up through high school, when I got to my junior year, you know, we started making plans of what you want to do with your future. Mine was at that point was I'm just going to go back to the farm and farm. And it was a conversation one night my folks had asked and said, so what's your college plans? And I said, none. I'm just gonna come back here and farm. And that was when my dad just flat out said, the farm may not be here next year. So you are going to college. You have no choice. So I was forced to start looking at that college alternative and ended up going to Ellsworth Community College and then on to Iowa State. Got my degrees in animal science and ag education. And finally getting the chance to farm this year. It's finally the cards and the outlook was looking good. I had a chance to jump in on it.
Yeah, congratulations on that. But you've had a long career working as an ag educator on the faculty now at Ellsworth Community College. And when you were in college, you learned a lot about computer science. I mean, what pushed you in that direction?
Part of it, when I was at Iowa State, I was in the animal science department, and technology is huge in that area, and started messing with computers as we were ultrasounding animals. You know, looking at the carcass values of live animals. And I didn't get much on the ultrasounding, but I got more in the computer and looking at the data and how to do some of that. And that just kind of carried with me as I got out into the real world, to a point where I worked in the animal health industry for a little bit and then kind of got into computers and worked for a local computer shop for a couple of years, building computers, doing networks. And then that kind of led into a software company where I helped develop software for law enforcement. And then that kind of led me back, going back to my ag education roots and teaching at Ellsworth. So when I came into precision ag, I was big on the data side because that's a lot of what I spent doing prior to that.
So now as an ag educator and someone with this background, tell me about the kinds of stuff that you're teaching young people who want to go into the agriculture field but really probably can't farm.
Yeah, we got started with a precision ag degree several years ago, and it was when I started at Ellsworth. We had heard from our advisory board of, there's this thing called precision ag. Can you do some teaching at the college on that? Because we like to see some kids with some of that knowledge. And so started teaching a class about 12 years ago, and then as precision ag started growing and becoming more adopted, we realized that just one class couldn't cover it all. So we started doing two classes, a class on software, then add another class with just kind of the hardware, looking at, you know, the specific sides of that. And then that just kind of naturally led into there's future out there. There's potential careers for kids that, you know, that were like me that maybe want a farm, but they're going to need something off the farm as well. So that kind of led to us developing the precision ag program. And yeah, it's been kind of exciting with some of the things that we have and what we can showcase to students. And we also take things out in the road and show it to high school kids all across the state as well.
Now, obviously, all three of you have built careers in precision agriculture that don't necessarily involve farming land yourself. But give me an idea, Kevin, as a teacher, obviously, you're helping young people look towards the future and hopefully become employable. Give me an idea of how this field looks for somebody graduating from a community college or graduating from Iowa State University who wants to be involved in precision ag.
It's very promising, and that's the way we look at it right now in our college. For every student I have or that we have there, we probably have 5 to 6 to 7 people out in the industry looking for someone. You know, that's the reality. And you know, we just don't have enough kids coming up through the ranks to replace those that are in the industry now that want to retire or get out of it. So,
and describe some of the jobs that they would be filling. What would they be doing?
On the precision ag side, yeah. It could be anywhere from a technician, you know, kind of like the Pete Youngbloods, all the way up to what the Brad does. Everything in between. We have some students that have graduated that just their main job is sitting at a computer and processing that data and looking at all the you know, making the maps and helping the farmers or helping, you know, helping their customers make sense out of it. We even have a few that have kind of gone more in the sales side of it, more in the business aspect, because the industry's kind of grown to where instead of one person doing it all, we're starting to see some specialization, and we're kind of tackling that as well.
And do you find that there are getting to be organizations that are outsourcing this or sourcing this kind of information outside of Iowa as well? Can there be a group in Iowa who's selling this kind of data crunching ability all over the Midwest or all over the United States?
How about all over the world?
All over the world. All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Kevin Budd, agriculture faculty at Ellsworth Community College. Pete Youngblood, owner of Youngblood Egg. Brad Buchanan, owner and president of Crop Tech Services Incorporated. And you are welcome to join the conversation as well. We're talking about precision agriculture this hour. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about precision agriculture, and we're going to focus now on one of the impacts that maybe a lot of people don't think about with precision agriculture is the impact that it might have on the environment in Iowa and elsewhere. Brad Buchanan is here with us, owner and president of Crop Technology Services Incorporated, a certified crop advisor in Iowa. Pete Youngblood, owner of Youngblood Ag. Kevin Butt, agriculture faculty at Ellsworth Community College. And Lee in Slater, Iowa, is on the phone anticipating my next question. So, hi, Lee.
Thank you, Charity. Thanks for the interesting program. So far, the discussion has been about increasing yield on the farm, basically corn and soybeans. My question is, how does precision ag work when we're trying to do more conservation work on the farm? It looks to me like precision ag probably does not pencil out if you're only chasing yield. It's very expensive. We haven't heard the cost yet, but it is very expensive. I know that. If you put it in the planter tractor, you put it on the sprayer, and you put it in the combine cap, we're talking many thousands of dollars. So it seems to me that if we don't take into account the value of the conservation work and put a dollar value on it, it's going to be real hard for precision ag to pencil out. So be curious to hear about that.
Sure, Lee, thank you so much for your call. And let's go one step at a time here, because we'll talk about the bottom line as well. But when people hear that precision agriculture may have a positive impact on the environment, I'm sure a lot of people think, what and why? Brad, what is your take on that?
Well, I can speak specifically from the soil fertility side of the equation. Is that we can be much more precise of placing nutrients needed where they're needed and avoid over-applying nutrients where they're needed. So, example, there's a lot of concern about phosphorus and phosphorus runoff and getting in on our water supply. So we can precisely document where fertility, or in this case phosphorus levels, are higher or lower. And that fertilizer applicator, as they're going across the field with the GPS technology, they can put on more fertility in those low testing areas and maybe no additional fertility in those high testing areas. So the farmer is seeing a cost benefit there of being more precise where nutrients are needed or not needed. The same thing would be applicable for nitrogen. Nitrogen is a tremendously costly input from a input side of things, and so we're trying to be more precise with our nitrogen application, not only trying to put it on at one time, but maybe multiple times throughout the growing season. And by doing that, then we can be much more efficient with the use of nitrogen, and the amount of pounds of product that we apply decreases, and we still achieve the same yields. And there, again, would be another way that there would be some cost savings and paying for the technology that they're utilizing.
All right. So, what may be driving that decision on the farmer's part would be that, of course, they don't want to spend money on costly inputs. But do we have, I don't know if any of you would know this, do we have evidence on whether or not this does seem to be reducing the amount of runoff from farmers' fields?
Yeah, I would say that you can definitely see it. There's different associations. The Soybean Association has been involved in doing nitrate testing with water that's coming out of these fields. And it is, you can even see it when you're looking at the end of a tile outlet. The water is so clean coming out of that field, it's unbelievable. A lot of people assume that growers are just going out and putting a ton of fertilizer down and trying to get these big yields, but it's not necessarily always about chasing the yield. You're not always trying to get a yield increase. Sometimes you're doing the opposite, and you're just looking at trying to save where you can. So when we go out and we do these soil samples and we do variable rate fertilizer, that's allowing us to save on the inputs. So when you're spending the money on the technology, there's always an ROI on it, and you really have to
return
pencil
on
it
investment
out. Correct. Yes, you always have to have a return on it, because otherwise why would you spend money if you're not getting anything out of it? So that's why we see so many farmers turning to the technology, because they can make data-driven decisions, they can reduce inputs and increase yield at the same time. So it really truly allows them to do that, as well as things such as tiling. We work with SoilMax tile plows, and AgLeader has a system to control that with IntelliSlope. And so we're able to go out there and do a good job at placing drainage tile in the ground, which reduces erosion and gets rid of that water, because you're not really just draining it, you're controlling the water table. And that's what's key in a lot of these fields, especially here in Iowa, where we have an abundance of rain, typically in the early spring months.
Do you want to add anything to this part of the conversation, Kevin, as an educator, looking at job opportunities for young people in precision agriculture? Are there companies out there that are focused on the environmental effects?
Yeah. In fact, a couple of years ago, I had actually had a whole water management unit to our precision ag course, because it became a key thing as we looked at the environment. You know, and it's not only just in the tiling part, but if you get out here further west, you get out into Nebraska and Colorado, where they have to do irrigation, where it's on the opposite end, where we have plenty of rain here, they need more water out there. And precision ag has had an effect out there. Looking at systems that can, you know, control how much water do we really need in this part of the field, and then make adjustments on the irrigation system to meet those needs.
We're talking a little bit about the bottom line, and Pete, I mean, obviously you're the guy that's trying to convince the farmer to put this kind of technology to work on their farm. How do the numbers balance out? Because yes, this technology is expensive.
Yeah, it is. It is very expensive. When you take into consideration what the equipment costs and then look at your savings, you can directly correlate the two. It could be something as simple as, like in this time of year, since it's pertinent, with harvest. If your combine is not set properly, you're losing yield. A yield monitor is a great, easy way to know that. So if I'm losing 5 or 10 bushels of beans because I'm leaving it out there in the field, I need to be making some adjustments. And when you're able to do it on the fly and see that real-time change on that yield monitor, it's huge. So we're able to take and pencil it down to bushels, and the same with seed. When you're not placing that seed correctly and you have a plant that is behind, well, one plant every 17 and a half feet makes a dramatic impact on what your actual population is out there and the number of ears you're going to get in the end. So that right there, we can start to put dollars and cents to it and get the return that we need.
Kevin, I know you've watched your dad as a farmer adopt these technologies over the years, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. But tell me a little bit about that process, because, of course, a lot of farmers who have been farming for decades have embraced this technology, and I'm sure they wouldn't have done it if it didn't benefit the bottom line. Tell me about the process on your family farm.
Yeah, it was, as I said earlier, going up through the farm crisis, it was, you know, we learned how to scrimp and save and pinch pennies and watch the bottom line. And so, yeah, it was many years ago, Ag Leader had come out with their brand new color display, first color display, and it was, they're being promoted, and it was something you can put in the cab and see your yields as you're going through the field in real time. And so when the local dealer came up and showcased this, and me, you know, with that technology background, I saw it right away. When the price tag was put out there, my dad really hesitated. He was really kind of questioning it. Took a little convincing from me and from the dealers to get that done, and we finally did. So as my dad was writing out the check, I remember this, he said, I hope this is really worth it. And he did. We got it installed. The best part was about 2 years later, I come back from class, and here I had missed like 3 or 4 phone calls from my dad. And I called my dad, and he's like, the monitor quit. And I'm like, okay, well, I can get out there after class. And he's like, well, I got the combine parked. And I'm like, you don't need to park the combine. You could still keep going. And my dad's like, no, I am not moving until that monitor is up and running, because that is now the most vital piece of equipment in that combine, because we had to have the data. My dad wanted that data. So yeah, something from 2 years earlier that was, is this really worth it, to now this is the most vital piece.
Wow, that this is a necessity. And Pete, give me an idea. I mean, yes, this equipment is expensive, and we've been talking kind of about add-on equipment, mm-hmm. but give me an idea of how much of an investment this is for a farmer.
Well, if you're talking about something as simple as say, yield monitor, by the time you're said and done, starting from scratch, you're probably going to be in that $10,000 range. Maybe a little less than that, just depending upon what options you choose and so forth, to as much as doing a whole planter. If you do a 16-row planter and outfit it with electric drives and hydraulic downforce, we're talking more like $40,000.
And that's, of course, in addition
to the price of the actual toolbar itself. But when you look at what you're getting in return, that return outweighs the cost of the equipment by far. We've had several customers that I sat down with and said, okay, we're going to finance this out over 3 or 4 years. And if we do that, here's what your cost is on a per year basis. That's a set number. And here's what the return will be on your acres. And I usually try to err on the side of caution. So when we figure out increase in yield or fertilizer savings or what have you, we start to pencil that out. And in most cases, I can actually make that grower more money and add money to that bottom line by purchasing the equipment.
Here's a comment from Bill. He says, having been raised on a Wisconsin dairy farm, I don't want the listeners to think that Iowa-style row crop farming is the only type of farming that uses high tech. And it's not the intention this hour, but Kevin, do you want to give us your take on that? I mean, this kind of technology is spreading far and wide, right?
It's all over the place. I get emails from people from all across the country, because very few of us actually have precision ag courses out there. So I've had a few emails from people going, hey, any way I can take this from afar? I've even had a few from South Africa email me with it. And so it's being adopted everywhere.
Yeah, I can add to that and say that working for Ag Leader, when I was there, I traveled all over the country and taught courses on precision ag with their desktop software. So I would be anywhere from Canada to Montana to Maryland, Delaware, down in Arizona, which is an odd one because you wouldn't think about things being down there with it hot and dry, but they're doing irrigation and growing some of the best corn you've ever seen. So it really is used everywhere in every application.
Well, and different kinds of operations as well. I mean, all over the place. But mm-hmm. but Kevin, do you see different kinds of operations embracing this?
Oh yeah, from the smallest farmer up to the largest operators. You know, precision ag technology is like many other. Has been like any other technology. You know, it's a little pricey at first, but once more and more people adopt it, you know, the price comes down, you know, it becomes affordable that anyone can get into it.
Here's a question from Paul. He says, what are your guests' views on what automation will mean for the role of farmers in the coming decade, two decades, three decades? You're all laughing because this is a question that I'm sure gets asked a lot. If all equipment is self-driven, what does the farmer do on the farm? Brad, do you want to take a shot at that one?
Well, I think... What he's alluding to is it's going to be very difficult for an individual farmer to not be sitting in that combine or sitting in that planter tractor, but using the sensor technology that's available to him to make decisions immediately there, much like what Pete was saying before, is we want to make sure that planter operation is we get one shot to do that correctly that and one time across the field per year. And so we want to do the best job that we can because we know that that's going to have an impact on our bottom line and revenue. But, you know, talking about sensor technology and the question that came from Wisconsin, it's sensor technology in ear tags on dairy cows. As that cow comes into the milking parlor knows what her ration is. It knows how much milk she's produced. I mean, there's a whole host of things that's being brought to agriculture here, and it's going to be rapidly changing, you know, how we do things, decisions that we do, and I would hope, to the good.
Well, Brad, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much, Charity.
Brad Buchanan, owner and president of Crop Technology Services Incorporated, a certified crop advisor. And Pete, I'll let you take a crack at that. We're almost out of time, but what do you think? How is this changing the role of the farmer?
Well, I think it makes the operation much less stressful. The automation is allowing us to do a better job. But one thing that I really maintain is that you can never replace a human. You can't take a guy out of the seat and expect everything to work perfectly because what if something does happen to the planter and there's a row that has something physically wrong with it? Well, the machine can't repair itself and can't catch that fast enough. So it still requires a guy in the seat. You have to have a warm body in the seat, and you have to have somebody that's knowledgeable. You can't just throw anybody in there because if they don't understand it and they don't know it, they aren't going to be able to take care of the issues that might arise, whether it's automated or not.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Pete Youngblood, owner of Youngblood Egg. And Kevin, thank you so much for being here today.
No problem. Enjoyed being here.
And as you're preparing your students for the future, do you feel like this opens up more opportunities in agriculture since getting into farming is so difficult?
I do believe so.
All right. Kevin Buck, agriculture faculty at Ellsworth Community College. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. The program is produced by Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Dennis Reese, Ben Stanton, Lindsay Moon, and Emily Woodbury. You can get in touch with us anytime. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. I'm on Twitter as well at Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.